On today's episode, our all-Asian panel reviews F9, The Fast Saga, and discusses Too Much of a Good Thing, which is a topic plucked from the themes of the movie. What up, listeners, and welcome to the You Better Represent podcast. Oh, oops, that's my other tagline. Let me rewind.
We don't share shit on this podcast.
Yeah, usually it's sharing the Asian perspective, but that is our old tagline. Our new tagline is You Better Represent podcast. Each week we explore representation in cinema by reviewing a minority-led film with members of that underrepresented community and debate a cultural topic plucked from the movie's themes. Joining me for today's show is Toronto comedian and writer Leonard Chan.
Hello.
Oh, and I'm your host, Vong Show, official spokesperson for gay, super cute Asians. I need to put that back in the script. So this week's movie of the week is F9, The Fast Saga, also known as Fast and Furious 9 in international markets outside of North America, which I think makes much more sense as a title. But, people just have to be weird. So the movie is the ninth movie in the Fast and the Furious saga, and it is about Dom and his crew who must take on an international terrorist who turns out to be Dom and Mia's estranged brother. This movie is directed by Justin Lin, who, you know, this show's called You Better Represent. It's the reason why we're reviewing it, because this is a huge Hollywood movie with lots of funding behind it. And it's directed by an Asian American. So Justin Lin,
yeah,
good on you.
But apart from that, there's literally no other reason for me to watch this film. there's nothing compelling. Well, this is the only reason is because I had to watch it for this podcast because Justin Lin directed it. That is the only reason I watched this movie.
And we support our fellow Asians. Also, you know, obviously it's bringing back Sung Kang as Han.
Spoilers.
Spoiler.
Spoilers, because everybody thought he died in the second one. Yeah. Tokyo Drift.
Yeah, but It's a long story with that whole thing. This is Justin Lin's first time back since Fast and Furious 7, which I think was the last good Fast and Furious movie. So I was actually very excited for Justin Lin to come back because he directed Fast and Furious 3, 4, 5, and 6, and then left.
Which were actually good.
Yeah. And then he left for 7 and 8, which were pretty terrible, other than I had to watch it because The Rock is in it. But, now Justin Lin returns, but without The Rock. This was written by Alfredo Botello, who gets the story by credit. And the screenplay credit goes to Daniel Casey and Justin Lin. This is starring, an incredibly diverse list of actors. There's so many, so just bear with me while I get through this. But I will say another reason why we're reviewing this is Fast and Furious Saga is known as one of the huge successes in Hollywood that featured a really diverse cast. And it just really showed Hollywood that there's more reason to... Because, with Hollywood... trying to tell them it's a good thing to do because it's the right thing to do never works. But if you can be like, hey, it actually makes more money because people don't want to see just white ass bitches on the screen. this is why I love the Fast and Furious saga. They've always had a very diverse cast. Now, this time they might have gone a little bit too far with their cast, but here we go. and hopefully you're with me after the 5 minutes of reading of these names. But we've got Vin Diesel coming back as Dominic Toretto. John Cena, who is somehow supposed to be his long-lost brother, despite being super white. Sung Kang as Han, of course, returning to his role. And his great relationship with Justin Lin.
Oh my God, this is going to take forever.
We've got.
Just don't even list the characters. Just list the names of the actors. This is going to literally take another 10 minutes.
Okay, cool. Okay, so we've got Michelle Rodriguez, Georgiana Brewster coming back and actually having a meaningful role. She really hasn't had that. She's had cameos throughout the whole saga, but she's kind of been sidelined for the most part. Ludacris, Tyrese Gibson, Natalie Emmanuel, Charlize Theron for some reason. I don't know why they keep bringing back her characters, like the overarching villain of this saga, even though she's just the least compelling overarching villain ever. And then special shout out to Anna Sawai, who randomly tags along with Sung Kang as, you know, just another Asian character, which, okay, if there's going to be, like, unneeded superfluous characters, at least have them be Asian. So, you know, good for you, girl. Okay, now let's now on to the actual review. Leonard Chan, does Fast and Furious 9 bring honor to us all, or does it bring shame to our ancestors?
Literally, there's a nun with a bell. just going, shame, shame. Shame. Oh my God, this movie was garbage. This movie was garbage. This was so bad. I can't, like, it was 2 hours and 20 minutes. Like, it was 2 hours and 20 minutes long. So, listen, I was literally furious that it didn't end fast enough. Like, that's, like, kind of where I was at with this. My God, like, what a mess of a film. Like, here's the thing. I can't even tell you what it was about. I honestly can't. Like, there was so much going on. There was, like, okay, there's, like, the brother thing with John Cena, and they set this whole thing up at the beginning, and then, like, so now there's, like, this history. But then there's this thing, like, these two halves of a sphere that I don't even know what it does, and then for some reason, like, this Asian lady, like, girl has to, like, hold them, and that's the only way they work, and they're uploading something, and I honestly don't know what they're uploading. I assume if they completed the upload, it would be bad, because that's always what happens. If an enemy is uploading something to a satellite, you have to destroy the satellite or, you know, stop the uplink, because that's just how this shit works. But what the fuck? Like, they went to space. Like, they have gone so far from the original movie that they've gone into space in a Pontiac Fiero, mind you. Like, it just made no sense. Like, the only, I will say this, the only thing I did like was when Tyrese and Ludacris are having that conversation about, like, how, listen, this makes no sense. We should have died so many times. We should be dead. Like, we must be invincible. Like, or we're just really lucky. Or whatever. Like, the fact that they at least acknowledged that in some sort of meta way was amusing. But that is it. It was horrible.
So I actually fully agree. I thought this was hot trash, just total garbage. Yeah. And the thing is, so just so people watching this know, like, I'm not one of these, like, critics who needs, like, art house movies. Like, I like action movies. I like most of the Fast and Furious series. So it's not like I'm, oh, you know, this movie wasn't elevated enough with all these whatever. No, I like pure stupid action. And this couldn't even do this. Like, I don't understand, Leonard.
It was, like, just so stupid. Like, honestly, this, you know what? You could consider this, like, $150 million art film about the unimportance of story. Because they had none. And they're like, look, and we still spent $150 million. We had no story. This makes no sense. And not just as, like, the story made no sense, the physics made no sense. Like, the fucking electromagnet, which was a selectively pull metal that they wanted to pull. Like, come the, like when they pulled the car through, like, a building into the side of the truck. whilst injuring nobody. it just made no sense. I mean, of course, I mean, and obviously, like, a movie wherein they shoot a Pontiac Fiero into the sky on the back of a plane that for some reason the dude from Tokyo Drift suddenly knows how to fly. I mean, whatever. So, none of it made any sense. But it wasn't even the action wasn't good. Like, it's just a bad movie.
Yeah, you know, the funny thing is, so the reason why I like the Justin Lin Fast and Furious movies until this one is, like, you can bring out moments that were just as dumb as what happened in this movie. Sure. And, you know, things didn't make sense. You know, in Fast Five, they basically became like super spies that had superpowers.
And that was the real switch, was in Fast Five when that happened. And then everything just got increasingly ridiculous after that.
Yeah, and I think like it kind of still held on for Fast 5, 6, and 7, where it is ridiculous, but you throw in The Rock, it's still... I think for me, it's not even that this didn't make sense, because some of those movies don't make sense either, but I think either it has to make sense or it has to be fun. Yes. And I'm like, because I can forgive, like, you know, like like last week we reviewed Kung Fu Hustle, and you know what?
Yeah, also makes no sense, but it's fun.
Yeah, so I'm like, you know, I don't need not everything has to make sense, but I'm like, if you're going to go in that direction, I have to have fun. And that's for me what this is lacking, because the funny thing is, honestly, Leonard, I feel like the people who wrote this and who did this actually feel like this was their art house picture. Like, they took it so seriously. So I was
like, that's the problem.
Yeah. I was like, if it's stupid, make it fun. But it's like, it was such a serious movie outside of, you know, a few quips from Ludacris and Tyrese. But like, it wasn't.
Who literally went into space in deep sea diving suits in a Fiero. And like, the implication is they got back from space.
Oh my god.
Where you literally, if you thought about it, there was zero way for them to get down from space. Like, they are in a Fiero. and then for some reason they matched the same orbit as like the International Space Station, and then waved at them from the Fiero. And so of course this is not meant to be like, that's the problem, right? Like, you have shit like that, and then the rest of it's so serious, and it's about, like, family, and it's about, you know, the meaning of whatever. It was just so bad.
I think, so, the funny thing is, so, you know, let's go back to what you said about, you know, your one positive point with Tyrese and Ludacris, who I'm sure their characters have names, but come on, we all call them Tyrese and Ludacris. I can't even give credit for that one thing where they acknowledge how ridiculous it is, because, like, for me, this is a thing in stand-up comedy as well, where it's like, I feel like with an audience, if you suck, like, so I never do, like, recovery jokes, because I feel like
if it's... Oh, by the way, a recovery joke, by the way, for the audience, is if you tell a joke, it doesn't work, and then you make a joke about how it didn't work.
Yeah.
That's a recovery joke. And listen, so I knew, like, there was a guy in, just to give you an example, there's a guy in Toronto, like, he would tell a joke, and then it wouldn't work, and then his joke from there would be like, oh, I'm glad to see that, you know, you guys don't reward failure. And that worked. And then, honest, and the funny thing is, that was consistently always the best laugh of his set, of every set I've ever seen him do. And then one time, he did well. And then he tried that line anyways, and it bombed, obviously, because it made no sense in the context of what he was doing.
Wow. So you just assumed he would fail. Well, you know.
Yeah. So I mean, to be fair, historically, it made sense that he thought he would fail.
So the thing is, for me, it's like, and with stand-up comedy, like, I'll forgive, like, what, like, this is from an audience member, and also as a comedian. So as a comedian, I never use recovery jokes. It's just not my thing. But as an audience member, I find, like, I'm willing to forgive the first recovery joke, especially if it's funny. Yeah. But by the time you're making two or three, it's like, stop apologizing for sucking and just stop sucking. And so for this,
that's movie, like, it's like the chef coming out every time saying, I am so sorry about the meal I just served you. The next course will be better. And then they come again. I fucked up again. I'm sorry. I know that wasn't supposed to have glass in it. Screwed up. Okay. Next one. Okay. And then, yeah, that's what that feels like, right? It's like, listen, I didn't come for apologies. I came for laughs. You're not doing it.
Yeah. So for me with the Tyrese thing, I'm like, okay, the first time. Okay, fine, they're acknowledging it, how stupid it is. But then it just got, I was like, no, stop acknowledging how stupid this is, and just please stop being stupid. Like, just stop. Just like, yeah. I don't know. It's just so hard because I'm being so negative, but it's like,
it was so bad. You know what I was hoping for? I was hoping that, like, they would say that and then they would die. Like, honestly, I thought if this
would actually be pretty good.
That's what I thought. I was like, if this is a setup for them dying, because that's what I thought actually happened. Like, after they, like, fucking fired their rocket on a Fiero into a satellite in space, I assumed, rightfully so, that that killed them. Like, that this was a huge sacrifice they made to prevent this upload to this satellite, which, by the way, I still don't know what it did. So if you could tell me what it did.
Oh, please. It was, so the satellite was supposed to take over all other satellites that were orbiting Earth, which apparently a lot of satellites control weapons. So by taking over the satellites, they take over all the weapons in the world because satellites control weapons, I guess. I don't know. I don't feel like most war weapons are controlled by satellites.
No, probably not. No. I would imagine it's, yeah. Okay. all right. Honestly, even the fact that I even know that now makes no material difference to how enjoyed the film. So, and yeah, so that's the thing. Like, I think they kept talking about dying. And I honestly thought, okay, these motherfuckers have to die.
Yeah.
They have to die. That's, you know what? It's like Chekhov's gun. Right? You know that thing? Like, Chekhov, any play, if Chekhov's like, if there is a gun, you have to use the gun. Mm-hmm. And they just fucking loaded the gun, and then they just left it. And they didn't fight. And then they fired themselves through a satellite in a Pontiac Fiero and lived.
Well, the thing...
And meanwhile, Paul Walker's dead.
Oh, my God.
He's probably looking down right now going, what the hell happened, guys?
I think it's like, oh my God. I don't even know what to say. This movie, it's tough even reviewing, because it's just so... Everything was just so wrong. I feel like there might have been an 80-minute version of... There could be an 80-minute cut that acknowledges how dumb it is, but it's just so fast-paced that it's just enjoyable the whole way through. At 2.5 hours, I'm just like... all this backstory, apparent character building.
Oh, my God. Why are you trying to build...
Honestly, like, I can't even give this, like, on a scale of 1 to 10. My scale for this movie, Leonard, is how many times I slap myself on the forehead. Like, I would say at least a dozen times I, like, smack myself on the forehead because I was like, how? Yeah. What? And,
We're measuring it in face palms. Like, you know, how many thumbs up? Oh, none. How many face palms? Oh, at least 13.
Yeah, this is, I don't, oh, my, like, I... There's just so many moments I can't even go through. Like, there's just so many times where I was just like, this is, you know. And, like, listen, my favorite actor is The Rock, so I'm not looking for realism.
And like, he wasn't in this movie. I think if he was, maybe this would have benefited.
Yeah, I feel like even, like, the last two Fast and Furious movies are really dumb, but somehow The Rock gets that it's, like, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, and, he's in on it.
Yeah.
And he can carry, like, you know, Hobbs and Shaw is, like, pretty ridiculous itself.
Yeah.
You know, that but one
the
gets
Rock
all...
And Idris Elba. I mean, come on.
Yeah, but somehow they made it fun, even though one kind of, like, jumped the shark, too, of, like, they didn't go into space, but, you know, they ended up having superpowers with, like, biometric androids. And, like, it got pretty out there, but somehow, you know, you end up with, like, The Rock on an island fighting... a war with, like, primitive weapons with his, like, Samoan ancestors. And you're like, you know, this is kind of stupid, but it's kind of awesome. This was not awesome. One thing, too, is that with superpowers, it's like, you know, they've been saying for a while that the Fast movies have become basically superhero movies. But this time they actually just literally gave Dom superpowers. Like, he pulled down... bunker with his forearms.
Yeah, like, he became like fucking the Thing, or like I was like, I don't know what happened here. This made no sense. He was being attacked by like a dozen dudes, and he's just like, whatever. And then he like falls like like 200 feet head first into back first into water, which by the way is not like. It's not like falling into a wading pool. You fall that high into water, it's like landing on concrete because of the surface tension. You are dead. You are splattered. There's no way he should be alive.
Yeah, it's why people... I'll give a trigger warning because I know people are, you know, have things in their lives. But trigger warning, but like, this is the reason why people commit suicide from bridges, because they don't just fall into the water and swim off. Like, yeah. It's you die when you hit the water, people. You die. Yeah.
And if you, and you, I mean, ultimately, or if you don't die immediately, you get injured so much, you drown, because there's no way you're fucking swimming away from that.
Yeah.
But yeah, this, yeah. Yeah, I mean, oh, also, there should be a trigger warning in this entire movie. Jesus. Honestly, the F9 key on my keyboard was more entertaining than F9, the movie.
I don't know. So, okay, so I hate to do this, but because the movie actually spends so much of its runtime trying to give backstory, I feel like because like for Kung Fu Hustle, we didn't even really try and go into like character motivation stuff. But this one, they just devote so much runtime into it that I'm like, we kind of need to talk about it. But like, yeah. The character motivations. Okay, let's just start with Jacob, the new character, John Cena.
Right.
I'm just like, his turn to be a good guy. So first of all,
God.
You know, the fact that after all this time of not telling Dom, that he then tells him was stupid. Like, you could have had that random guy who took care of him tell Dom, the one that Dom went to visit, you know, their mutual friend, the big secret that his brother had. And then the other thing was, he didn't earn his, like, what I don't like is, like, when you're going with a character arc, and, like, Leonard knows this more because he's an actual writer, and I just, you know, pretend to be. The only thing I write about is my own life. But, like, so I know the character motivation because it's me. But, like, for a fictional character, I feel like I don't like fictional characters where they're especially if they're doing, like, an arc where they, like, switch sides. I want that to come internal. Yes. So if he, for some reason, had decided, okay, I'm going to switch sides for whatever reason, you know, and they had, like, you know, it was a payoff to, like, some type of internal struggle, and he had to make a choice, and he's like, no, I'm going to stick with my brother. No, it was that his partner, like, just decided to get a new partner, and then mm-hmm. he's like, okay, I guess I'm good now because the enemy of my enemy is my friend or some shit. I'm like, no, yeah. Like, no, he didn't actually make a decision. And I don't like it when it's a character who changes or gets basically redeemed off of not even making a decision. And on top of that, why did his partner, like, turn on him to go with somebody who they held? Honestly, it would have been a better twist if it was like, oh, Cypher planned this all along, so she was always controlling him. Then I'd be like, okay, yeah, I can see that. She's been the overarching villain. But it's like, no, she just talked her way out of prison or out of the cube.
But also, it made no sense, like, because, like, the last thing she says to the dude, who before he decides, oh yeah, I'm just gonna let you out and you can control me now, is that he's a puppet. You're a puppet. Oh, okay, well then I guess that's what I am, and I'm going to now let you out of your cage so you can stick your hand up my ass.
Oh,
like, it was understand. Just it just made no sense. Like, the twists were not justified. It had nothing really to do with any sort of internal character development or change. It was just things happened, cars exploded, they fired two black guys into space. That's the movie in a nutshell.
And it could have been good if it was, like, ridiculous or just fun. It didn't have to be ridiculous. Just give me fun. It just was not. It was just so held down by, like, I feel like an hour of the runtime was, like, backstory and character development somehow on a movie that nothing made sense. So I'm like, no, if you're, like, and I know this is, I don't know why I'm going, it's just because it's the last movie we watched, but I was like, I'm going to go back to Kung Fu Hustle. It's like, that also kind of makes no sense, but it's okay because it's not trying to. It's just trying to give us a fun time. Like, come on, give us a fun time, Vin Diesel or Justin Lin. I don't know. All your other movies were so good. I don't understand what happened.
It wasn't his story. He wrote the screenplay, but it wasn't his story. So this guy, Alfredo, whatever his name is, wrote this story. I blame him because he's the guy who came up with this junk.
Oh, Lord. And then Han coming. So obviously we reviewed this because Han came back, and we love Han. We followed him from that first Justin Lin movie, or Justin Lin Nolan's second movie, whatever it was, Tomorrow something. Better Luck Tomorrow, maybe.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've been following Han. We love this character. We've reviewed basically every other movie he's appeared in. So we wanted to review this one. But, it just didn't make sense.
Like, it wasn't, his return wasn't really justified in any way, shape, or form. It didn't, like, bear any weight. It was just like, look, if you're bringing a character back from the dead, it should, like, have massive story implications. And it really didn't. They didn't need him.
Yeah.
Right? They could have had anybody in that role. It didn't have to be Han.
And the funny thing is, it's like, you know, when I say that, like, there's been similarly stupid moments in the past on Fast and Furious, even Justin Lin Fast and Furious, but I still accept it. I would say this is comparable to Letty coming back in Fast, what was it, Fast 6 after she died in Fast and Furious, which was Fast 4, where they like retconned that whole thing. So I was like, I get it. This, they've done it in the past. But they've always done it in a way that I was like, okay, yeah, that's really stupid, but I'm okay with it because, you know what? She's back and it's kind of fun. This was like, he's back and I don't know what he's doing. Like, it's just so, I don't know. It's just so, I don't understand Leonard. I don't understand what's happening. What's happening in this movie.
It just was a really, it was just bad. Like it was just really, really bad. Like, and especially if you have characters coming back from the dead, like they have to be like, it wasn't memorable. Like Han coming back from the dead. It's like, yeah, I'm glad again, you're bringing back and employing an Asian.
Yeah.
But like, it wasn't like Gandalf coming back from the dead. Like that made a huge case or, I mean, and this is completely in the different direction, but Kimberly from Melrose Place, like,
oh yeah.
When she came back from the dead, it's like, what? She's back. Yeah, it's crazy.
Well, you know, I will say it hooked us in, or at least it hooked me. I was like, oh, Han's back, we gotta see this. So I guess their plan worked. I fell for the bait, which kind of pisses me off.
Yeah.
I was like, man, I came back for Han. I'm trying to support my fellow Asians and Justin Lin, how could you do this to me? This is ridiculous. This whole movie, I don't understand, but I'm happy you're getting paid, Justin Lin. Go spend that money, because this movie, I don't know. This was,
garbage.
I just can't.
Hot garbage.
Okay, you know what? I don't think I can top hot garbage. I feel like that's the perfect way to end this movie review. So we are going to end our first segment, which is, of course, the review. And we will take a short break before coming back with our second segment. And our second segment is where we discuss a topic that's related to the movie. This week's topic is too much of a good thing and how that ruins things you actually like, which if you've seen the movie, you can probably figure out how that is related. So we will be right back. What up, listeners? Welcome back to You Better Represent podcast. This is our second segment where we delve into a topic of the week that is plucked from the themes of the movie. And this week's movie of the week was Fast and Furious 9, which I think me and Leonard both agreed that our three-word review was hot garbage, which I know that's two words, but that makes as much sense as this movie makes sense. So there you go. Hot ass garbage.
Hot garbage.
But the associated topic is too much of a good thing. And the reason why I decided this, or we decided this, was because I actually really like Fast and Furious. So it's not even I'm coming from it from like a hater perspective. Like, I wanted to like this movie. I wanted to support Justin Lin. I wanted to support the return of Han as a character. You know, hashtag justice for Han. But I feel like, I don't know, whatever reason, Fast and Furious just decided to cram everything they could with weird cameos, like Helen Mirren probably didn't need to be there. The Asian girl.
Oh yeah,
girl
was that? Was she like
there.
A? Was she like, she was just a new character? Like, actually, like, oh look, maybe my fault that I didn't see Fast and the Furious 8. Did I have to see 8 to understand 9?
is Helen Mirren is the mom of Jason Statham.
Okay.
Character, I guess. Right. Shaw. Yeah. And Jason Statham's brother, who was also a villain, I think in Fast 7, maybe. So anyway, she's the mom of both of those. Okay. Which, oh, also, our review is over, but I feel like I need to put this in. That whole scene where that girl is driving for the first time in her life was probably the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, I might have smacked him. I remember when I was first learning to drive. Anyway, let's get away from all that. Let's go back into your topic. But so, too much of a good thing. I feel like 2.5 hours is a bit much. All those cameos is too much. So I was trying to think of times in our lives where there's things that, in a reasonable portion are enjoyable, but where we just self-indulged too much and then made it not enjoyable. So I will throw it over to my co-host, Leonard Chan. And Leonard, has there been a time in your life where you had something that you really liked or enjoyed, but you kind of ruined it by overindulging?
There's all the obvious things like, food and alcohol and drugs, of which, but I mean, to be fair, I've never done so much of it that I've ruined it forever. I'll go back to those things. except peach schnapps. I'm not going ever back to peach schnapps. I had a real bad night with that. Let me think. Here's the thing. You go to enough cheerleader themed orgies and then it gets pretty boring.
While you're thinking, I'll jump in on some of mine. And
that was real, by the way.
Oh, good Lord.
You thought I was kidding. That was real, and it does get boring. And when you are bored at a cheerleader-themed orgy, you know you have taken a wrong turn in your life.
Oh, I was trying to give you an out, but you really leaned into that. I don't know. I am also bored with orgies, I think, in the gay community.
They are boring, though, right? Like, after a while, it's like, it's kind of,
And I feel like, especially with the gays, they're just so available. I don't know how to say it to sell. Yeah.
I get it. Because you don't have to work for it. It's not as fun if, it's just provided to you, right?
Yeah. And it's, I highly recommend it. Just so if you're wondering, if you never had one and you're like, okay, what's it like? Get that curiosity out of your head. And, after a while it gets boring. But anyway, so.
At least do it like 6 or 7 times. But after that, it's.
Yeah, because there's I'll let you discover that journey on your own, listeners. But so for me, the first thing that came to mind was actually video games, because when I was growing up in the ghetto,
that's so much more wholesome than how we started this.
So, I grew up in the ghetto. We didn't have a lot of money. And I would get one video game a year, and I would play the shit out of that video game. And every video game I had like that, from Super Mario Brothers to Final Fantasy VI to, I only got to choose one video game, and I would do all my research, which back then was very difficult because it was all by reading magazines. There's no internet. And if you choose wrong, you would have just a very bad year. But the games that I did have, like I said, like Super Mario Brothers, like Final Fantasy VI, Final Fantasy IV, I play the shit out of those, and I knew them inside and out. I probably could have written strategy guides on them. I knew them so well because I would play them dozens of times. And, then when I left home and I got my first job, so when I was growing up, it was more like Nintendo, Super Nintendo, but then an N64. But when I got my first job, that was more the GameCube era. PS2. And I just basically had more money than I knew what to do with. And I just had every game, anything. I literally just didn't even finish games. I'd play them for an hour, But there's such a huge stack. You move on to the next game and on to the next. And I don't even know if I have a favorite game from that whole era because I just had so much. It was just, I spent more time deciding what game to play than I did actually enjoying the game. It's almost like with me and Netflix, honestly, and I feel like a lot of people do this, I spend more time adding movies and shows to like my list of up next versus watching them. Like I literally, all I'm doing is like, oh, what movie should I add? And then I probably spend like a third of the time actually watching it. I just sort of scroll through these endless lists and add them to my list that I'm never going to get through. So just this unlimited amount, it honestly, like, I don't think I'll ever love a video game the way I loved those Super Nintendo N64 games, because I just had the one goddamn game for that whole year.
You had to love it, because like, scarcity breeds adoration.
Yeah, and the other thing I will bring up, too, is, you know, the pandemic. Which is like
definitely had too much of that.
Yeah, it's a weird thing.
It was pretty good at the beginning, but then it became, you know.
I was gonna say I'm a bit of a hermit, and honestly, I was a bit burnt out. You know, we had just recorded right before the pandemic. We, you know, including Leonard, we recorded a comedy special. You know, probably the biggest point in my career up to that point. And honestly, I needed a break. And I needed to go into post-production, and I needed to write more comedy because I kind of, like, used all my comedy in that comedy special. So, honestly, for the first 6 months, I was like, oh, this is kind of a blessing. Now, going on almost 2 years, I'm like, no, this is too much of a good thing, this pandemic. And I know, listen, I feel like I give a disclaimer every week because I feel like people get upset at a lot of things I say. But I am allowed to say that to me, the pandemic, the early pandemic was a good thing. That doesn't mean I don't need a comment saying, oh, my mom died because she had COVID. I'm not saying the pandemic is a good thing. I'm not saying 6 months of relaxation for me is worth 700,000 people dying or in North America or some shit. So
no, to be fair, you don't know how hard Vong was working. You know, like he really needed a rest.
Yeah. So listen, people, don't come at me with your sob stories of COVID. I'm not saying COVID was a good thing because it gave me some rest. I'm saying for me, it was a good thing for 6 months until it wasn't. So let me.
You know, this podcast really isn't this podcast until Vong either mentions he's from the ghetto and then preemptively apologizes for something he says.
I know, and maybe I just shouldn't, because it seems like people offending other people is a very good marketing tactic nowadays, but I don't know, that's not like super my style, but, you know, and honestly, people don't really hear the bigger context, they're just going to snip out that first piece and get mad at me for it, but yes, to me, the pandemic is too much of a good thing, because as awful as it is, there was some good parts to it. Now, has anything else come to your mind, Leonard, on good things that went to that got soured by overindulgence?
I mean, it's all, like I said, it's always like the same old shit, you know? Although, I mean, I think there is something to be said for the overabundance of choice, right? Like when you mentioned the Netflix thing, like I remember, like I always wanted, I think, like, you know, when I was a kid, I only got, you know, healthy cereal. And then when I was an adult, I was like, oh, I am so going to get all the sugar cereals because now I can. And then, you know, like, and A, when you're, I mean, I can't do it now, but I mean, thank God I had the metabolism I had then. It was just eating boxes of like Count Chocula and like Lucky Charms. It's not good for you. It's pure sugar. Yeah, just straight diabetes. But yeah, you know, I wish I had a better answer. You know, I mean, I blew my load with cheerleader orgies, literally.
Well, there you go. There you go. Well, you know, it is what it is. It's, bringing it back to the movie, I think creatively, Yeah, actually, you know what was going through my head with F9, Fast and Furious 9?
Yeah.
Is it just reminded me of like when a creator or a series, they just have so much power that after a while, there's no editor, there's no like check and balance. Where like, you know, with Vin Diesel, he's producing this now. Justin Lin's also a producer. And, you know, when the movies are making over $1 billion, like you can just go in and say, we're going to spend 150, 250 million and we're going to make it 2.5 hours. Whereas I feel like the earlier movies, somebody would have come in and said, no, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it reminds me, and, you know, people get mad at me for this, but it reminds me of Harry Potter. I love the first 3 books. And yeah. Then, you know what, bitch got too famous and decided a children's book had to be 700 to 1,000 pages and have exactly the same amount of plot as the first book that was like 140 pages or some shit. Like, there is not more plot in, like, the sixth book as there is in the first one, but somehow this bitch starts describing, like, the wind blowing on the hair and the... I don't need that much description, bitch. But basically, the whole thing is... like, people need editors. People need limits. And sometimes you become so successful that it's just too much of a good thing. And yeah. Here's time for another disclaimer, because I always get into trouble. For people who know me, when you're both gay and from the ghetto, bitch refers equally to both genders, if not more so to men. So when I was, so like, to me, probably the person I call bitch the most is Kevin Durant, because I hate that, like, ho-ass bitch, for what he did joining the Golden State Warriors. And in the gay world, I don't think we even call women bitches. It's literally, we just call other gays that. So before people come at me for calling J.K. Rowling a bitch, it is a genderless, which I know, yes, by definition, bitch is not genderless, literally in the dictionary. But in my use of it, I feel like I should have like a weekly disclaimer section. But okay, that's my disclaimer for calling J.K. Rowling a bitch.
Yeah, Vong's disclaimer section is longer than the cast of Fast and the Furious 9.
Okay, well, you know what? Maybe I'm having too much of a good thing with my disclaimers.
Yeah.
it's another thing where it's going too far. But okay, that's let's wrap it up there. And thank you, Leonard, for coming on and reviewing this completely ridiculous movie.
Hot garbage.
Thank you for the listeners for sticking with us. We will be back in a couple weeks with another Asian movie review. As people who are longtime listeners know, we kind of switch between Asian movies for representation, gay movies for representation, other movies for representation. But I think the next Asian movie we're going to do also kind of looks like it might be hot garbage, but I'm hoping it's not. But we have to cover it because it's a Hollywood-produced movie with a male Asian lead, which doesn't happen a lot.
I'm hoping
it's not hot garbage, but I do want to support our fellow Asian or half Asian. What's his name?
Henry Golding.
Yes, Henry Golding. So yeah.
Who has not an Asian name at all.
No, but we will we'll get into that more with our next Asian movie review. Scheduled for 2 weeks from now, because next week will be a gay movie review. But hopefully you'll stick with us. I'm your host, Vong Show, official spokesperson for gay super cute Asians. And that's what's up.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network.